KBSC News presents The Defense Grinches.
Even after the examination of some of the critical issues with ballistic missile defenses, or BMDs, such as the attendant international legal issues of ballistic missile defense implementation, the potentially drastic implications for global security, the dubious technological feasibility of an anti-ballistic missile system, and the highly probable environmental toll which could be wreaked upon the Earth, an important facet of missile shields remains to be critically examined. This topic is often the most hotly debated of any proposed program or product: the economics of the thing in question. This segment of the Defense Pretense will be examining the costs of proposed anti-ballistic missile systems and the context in which the monetary issues rest. Dr. Natalie Goldring, the Executive Director of the University of Maryland's Program on General Disarmament, gives a summation of the economic aspects of ballistic missile defenses.
The U.S. taxpayer is being asked to bear the burden of developing this system. The Bush administration's request for next year for ballistic missile defense is $8.3 billion, and so far it looks as though they're likely to get almost all of that, if not all of that amount. That's coming out of the taxpayer's pocket, and that's money that then can't be spent on schools, on roads, on desperately needed infrastructure improvements here in the United States. And this has been going on for a very long time. We've been pursuing some aspect of ballistic missile defense for decades. And even during the times when the critics, like myself, have been successful in beating back proposed programs, the administration tends to come back with an increased, quote-unquote, research program. And that's been the trade-off. But what that means is that the American taxpayer has subsidized more than $100 billion of research and development on this program. And so far, the only thing we have for it is decreased resources available for other critical needs. We have vastly changed our relationship with our allies. We're putting them in a position of being told, you're either going to go along with us or you're not going to be our friends anymore. Sounds like the playground bully. We've taken tremendous costs for pursuing this program, and the benefits are quite unclear. If the administration goes ahead with this program as they're starting to outline it, which includes a land-based component, pursuit of sea-based components, even pursuit of space-based components in violation of our international commitments on those issues, if they go ahead with this, then I think we'll see implications. We'll see implications for trade. We'll see implications in the international economy as a whole. There's an assumption in the Bush administration, and it's true of many presidential administrations, it's not just Republicans who do this, that they always get to go last. I call this the fallacy of the last move. The Bush administration presents their program for ballistic missile defense as if no one's going to respond to it, as if people won't develop countermeasures, as if the Russians won't put extra warheads on their ballistic missiles, as if people won't do anything in response. And I think it's blatantly obvious that that's not true. In the case of our relationship with China, I would expect it to have grave effects on our trade relationship. And I think that Americans might find out pretty quickly that we rely quite heavily on cheap foreign goods imported into this country. And I think at that point you might well see a public backlash. Right now, the costs of this program are mostly invisible. They're buried in a $340 billion defense budget. They're not so easy to see. But if and when this program starts having effect on our international trade relationships, then I think the issue is going to come home and it's going to be much more obvious. Unfortunately, by that point, we'll probably have spent another $20 or $30 billion on this program. And I just think it's an incredible waste of money. It increases international instability. It does not provide a defense for the American people. You can go under a ballistic missile defense system. That's a trivial task. You can go through a ballistic missile defense system. That's not so hard either, particularly if you're a country like Russia. You can go around a ballistic missile defense system. You can make this system irrelevant by using cruise missiles, by using bombs on ships. There are lots of ways to do that. And there's a myth that this administration is trying to sell to the American people that somehow we are going to be protected. It would be lovely if it were true. But it's not. It never has been, and it's never going to be. It's technologically impossible to guard against all of the realistic threats to the United States by a determined adversary. It's just not possible.
In an interview in late July of 2001, Craig Eisendrath, a senior fellow with the Center for Information Policy, when asked what he felt the most plausible threat to United States national security to be, had this to say.
There's a considerable risk of terrorism, but that's not going to be controlled by missiles. If I were a terrorist, for one thing, I wouldn't have a missile to use. I would have a suitcase, I might have a Piper Cub plane, I might have a motor launch, but I certainly wouldn't have an ICBM. And then I would use it in a particularly insidious way. I would walk in with a suitcase bomb. I think it's quite reasonable to spend more on controlling that kind of terrorism. And it's also, of course, quite reasonable to create the diplomatic conditions where terrorists really don't need to function. Well, we're now dealing with a very limited budget. I think the Bush administration is finding that its tax cut is beginning to prioritize certain things. I was shocked, for instance, that the Bush administration pulled money out of Nunlugar, which is, you know, controlling the Soviet nuclear materials cooperatively. Here was a program which has really worked, and we start cutting appropriations. So we cut it a couple hundred million dollars. This was quite silly. This is something which really does work, which really has reduced the nuclear threat in the United States, the threat of the diversion of nuclear materials, which is, of course, a very real threat. That is, if these materials get in the hands of the wrong people. I think we've got to prioritize what we're willing to spend money on, and I would spend money on controlling terrorism. I certainly wouldn't spend money on a national missile defense.
Also in a July 2001 interview, Eugene Carroll, a retired United States Navy Rear Admiral, now the Vice President Emeritus of the Center for Defense Information, iterated the need of a real threat to justify the research and implementation of an awesomely expensive system like a missile shield.
There has to be a threat. You aren't going to do all this investment and all this challenging of the world community with a new weapon system if there isn't a threat that you have to confront. And I can state objectively and factually, there are no missiles and weapons of mass destruction in the hands of rogue nations. There is no such threat to the United States. Now, the true believers, the ones who want to go forward, say, oh, but they can build this in 5 years, they can do that. They're talking about something that might happen in the future, but there's no indication, one, that it's going to happen, that any nation has that intention, and two, that the nations are possess the technology and the resources to create such systems. They have no incentive to make huge investments in ballistic missiles when they could make a tiny investment in a merchant ship. Rusty old tramp steamer, and you weld a nuclear device, a crude one that would never fit on a missile, into the hull of that ship, and you sail it into New York Harbor. Or you sail it into Baltimore or Houston or Long Beach or San Francisco. Maybe you sail three ships into three ports, and then you tell the United States, we have in place weapons which will destroy your cities, and that gives them the leverage that some people claim they will seek in ballistic missiles. Well, if I'm heading the state that has to make that decision for a nickel on the dollar, I can create a very reliable and credible threat to the United States compared to dealing with building up an intercontinental ballistic missile system.
Tom Zamora-Kalina, the director of the Global Security Program and the Union of Concerned Scientists, details some of the other ways a realistic ballistic missile threat is implausible when compared to other threats in a July 2001 interview.
If you had cruise missiles or short-range missiles on boats or submarines that came in close to the U.S. borders, to the U.S. coastline, a national missile defense system would not do anything for you because they would essentially fly under the system. And so there are a lot of threats here that the system simply doesn't take into account. And probably the most basic one is more terrorist-type attacks, where you put a bomb in a truck or a boat or a small airplane and fly it or otherwise get it to the target without the help of a long-range ballistic missile. Because remember, when a nation fires a long-range missile, we know exactly where it came from. And so if North Korea fires a missile, we will see that, and in response, the U.S. will exercise a devastating reply, whatever it may be. And North Korea knows that, so their most likely mode of attack would be one where the return address is not clear. They could have some degree of deniability as to whether they carried out that attack or not. So national missile defense may, in fact, be a system that addresses one of the least likely modes of attack and does nothing to help you in the most likely modes of attack, that is, the more sort of terrorist-style attacks.
Sadly, after the September 11th attacks upon the Pentagon and the World Trade Center, congressional politicians gave the administration pretty much what it wanted on ballistic missile defense research, claiming that they had to rally around the president. Communications director of the Taxpayers for Common Sense Citizens Group, Keith Ashdown, explains what happened.
What happened was the administration wanted $8.3 billion. They only wanted to give $7 billion. They compromised by saying, we'll give the president all he wants, but say that $1.3 billion of that can be used to his discretion to spend on counterterrorism if he so chooses. And so while we support, you know, limiting the missile defense budget, because that's a 56% increase over last year, which is massive compared to anything else, it isn't more than the president requested, but it was more than they initially proposed.
Keith Ashdown was asked about the annual request for research and development budgets. Why not just estimate the cost of the whole program and ask for that lump sum? Why keep getting your money in piecemeal amounts? This is what he had to say.
There's several points. The first is, this is a traditional budgetary gimmick. When you have a major spending program where you want to put a lot of money to one area, traditionally in the first couple years of its life, you spend little money on it. And then they're able to, at that point, come back when they're not getting the results that they want, to say things like, oh, you know, we've already put $16 billion into this. We still need to invest more into this, else that money will be wasted. And that's something they've used on, like, big road projects like the Big Dig in Boston and other types of sort of mega projects. And it's sort of the budgetary death by a thousand cuts strategy. The other thing that they're doing also is the amount of money they're putting in for this. Traditionally, research and development is the cheapest cost in weapons development. So while $8.3 billion may not seem like a lot, it is traditionally it's piles of money for for research and development into one weapon system. And so that's the other thing you're seeing here right now is you're seeing unprecedented levels of R&D money going into this program without any idea of, you know, how they're going to actually move ahead to the next phases in development, because of they've had very little success. Traditionally, what you see for big projects, being them space or defense projects, which are ones that are similar in design, are hundreds of millions of dollars per year. To spend upward of nearly $10 billion, on one project for 1 year is an awesome amount of money. It's unheard of, and it's gigantic, and everything else is pennies compared to it.
Director Ashdown was asked about any warning signs that could hint at ballooning costs for a ballistic missile shield.
The warning signs on the horizon are there already for this project. When you were using the $240 billion estimate, you know, we've used numbers between $280 and $300 billion for this whole program, depending, again, how expansive they make the missile defense system. And when you think of that type of money compared to traditionally on the types of cost overruns the Defense Department has for their major weapons programs, it makes any person who believes in fiscal discipline and sort of common sense budgeting for the federal government squirm. It's very scary where we're starting and where we potentially could end up with cost overruns. What government investigators and we have found is also the less testing you do and the less proving a system works before you actually buy it, the higher chances you're going to have massive cost overruns. And they're setting up the research and development process for the system where it all but ensures that you're going to have cost overruns that could be in the tens of billions of dollars. The General Accounting Office, we've worked with officials over there, and they look at multiple factors and saying, here, you know, one of the things they look at, which is key, is are you using off-the-shelf technology or are you trying to develop new technologies? And if somebody's trying to develop new technologies, new radar systems, new tracking systems, then they all but ensure that there's going to be cost overruns. This isn't just about a missile. This is about multiple components, and each of those components have to go through their own testing mechanisms. And if those systems have never been proven operationally feasible, and they're moving as they are with light speed through the R&D process, the chances of them not working are that much higher at the end of the process. This issue's traditionally been an issue of you're for defense spending and you're not for defense spending. What we believe current events argue is that this is now a question. This becomes an issue of less of for defense or against defense than which priorities are you for, and are you for direct efforts to protect Americans, or are you for, pie-in-the-sky projects that will, the only thing they will do is take money away from other priorities? And with that in mind, we think one of the most important things for people who are concerned with these types of projects can do is obviously the normal things of writing your legislators and making sure people understand that there are strong fiscal debates to these issues about where we spend our federal dollars, but also to make sure that we're whoever's organizing on these issues, we're moving past traditional advocates, and we're working with people who are more as interested in a strong defense and fiscal discipline as they are in making sure we're not just spending money on missiles, but other priorities in the federal budget.
The budget for a missile shield seems small in comparison to the tens or hundreds of billions of dollars one hears about during budget setting season on Capitol Hill. Keith Ashdown puts the approximately $8 billion figure into perspective.
We're spending twice as much money on missile defense as the whole Federal Bureau of Investigation gets. I mean, talking about priorities, especially in light of what happened to September 11th, that to me is an incredible comparison. Like, you know, obviously some people have problems with the FBI and how they spend their money, but we're spending twice as much on a project that may never work on, you know, hiring investigators who can keep our country safe. National Security Agency, NSA, gets less than we're giving to missile defense. CIA gets less. They're all, like, national security agencies around $8 billion. CIA is a little over $6 billion. And I'm not putting a value on funding these other entities, but it gives perspective on this program. And I mean, I think it really speaks volumes to what the priorities of this administration are. And I mean, if they continue to fund with comparatively this weapon system compared to what they're giving to these other homeland defense mechanisms like the FBI and others, it'll speak volumes to where their priorities are as administration in years to come. That's why I said earlier, this is a question of priorities. You know, you can fund the last war, which I think they're doing with a missile defense system, the Cold War, or you can start putting money towards, putting money towards the new enemies of this country. And they're not close to the point they need to be to funding what I believe are the direct threats to this nation. And again, like I said, I think the perfect example of that is the amount of money the FBI gets compared to what they're giving to this one weapon system.
Other numbers for the fiscal year of 2000 include $2.16 billion per year for cancer research, $937 million a year for FEMA, and $6.2 billion for the Head Start educational program. Keith Ashdown also detailed how some in Washington, D.C. are rather successfully managing to sneak an anti-ballistic missile deployment under the guise of research.
There's several things to mention. First of all, number one is one thing to remember in this town is all pork flows northwest to Alaska. And this isn't a surprise to us that this is in Alaska because of the amount of, monetary or budgetary power the members up there have. Even with the changes of the Senate, Senator Stevens, Murkowski, and Representatives Dong Young are very powerful, and it isn't a surprise to us that they got this project. Aside from that, what our concern about this is it blurs the lines of the operational testing law for weapons programs. Because of major expensive mistakes in the past for weapons programs, we set up some really smart, fiscally responsible legislators set up operational testing laws for our new weapons programs that cost billions of dollars. It's common sense. What those entail is you have to prove something works in the research and development phase before you move to procurement. And what we interpret this Fort Greenlee decision to be is blurring the lines between research and procurement. And that raises major red flags for us. They're basically saying as we move into R&D, we're procuring a site. And we're going to move into that phase as well. And what that does is it takes out the checks and balances we have in our testing procedures to make sure that tax dollars are used wisely. And it's another factor in ensuring that this sucker is going to cost billions or more dollars than we are anticipating currently. And so, however, here's the problem. With the operational and testing laws, one of the problems that we're seeing, though, is nobody's ever challenged the law. And so we're not sure. What we've been trying to do on the Hill is work with offices to make sure that they are monitoring this and to making sure that the Defense Department's actually complying to the federal law on these testing procedures. And we're not sure if anyone's going to challenge it or not on those factors.
Eugene Carroll addresses the issue of the large BMD cost in the context of the overall military budget.
Just think of the money we're spending, about $316 billion this year, and beginning the 1st of October, it's going to move up to something like $340+ billion. This is incredible, the amount of money. It is something like 7 times what China is spending on its military. It's probably at least 25 times what Russia is spending, and it's certainly more than all of the rogue nations in the world combined are spending by a factor of 10. Why do we need more money to defend the United States and citizens and its interests today? The fact is we're spending money for the wrong things, outrageously expensive and unnecessary weapons to prepare for World War III, when that isn't the dangers that we face. The dangers that we face are economic, terrorist, ecological, energy, There are any number of areas that threaten the security and the future well-being of Americans far more than the ridiculous proposition that some nut someplace is going to create a nuclear missile, armed missile, and shoot it at us. Let's get down to reality and structure a coherent national defense system, a ordering of our Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps, and equipping them with the materials they need to defend the United States. And I think we can find that it can be done with a lot less money than the 340 plus billion that are asked for in the year 2002.
This feature contains segments of interviews with Communications Director of the Taxpayers for Common Sense Citizens Group, Keith Ashdown; Eugene Carroll, a retired United States Navy Rear Admiral, now the Vice President Emeritus of the Center for Defense Information; Tom Zamora Colina, the Director of the Global Security Program in the Union of Concerned Scientists; Craig Eisendrath, a Senior Fellow with the Center for Information Policy; and Dr. Natalie Goldring, the Executive Director of the University of Maryland's Program on General Disarmament. All of the interviews, with the exception of Keith Ashdown's, were conducted during late July and early August of the year 2001. The interview with Keith Ashdown was conducted in the latter half of September of the same year. This feature contains segments of the track Assault on Precinct Zero by the group Plaid off of their LP Double Figure. That's it for this program. You've been listening to one part in 10 of the KVSC News feature series, The Defense Pretense, a critical look at proposed missile shields. Reporting for KVSC FM News, I'm Jed Cousin.